Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Amen. It's good news, right, Brother Greg?
Amen.
He makes the impossible possible. Yes, he does. Well, it is a good day to be here. It's a good day to be with you guys. It's always a humble thing to have your ear 2 hours every weekday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time. And we don't take that lightly. We are full of anticipation, excitement, and also just want to be found faithful in what God has instructed and called us to do in the platform that he has given us. And so we've heard from Hannah. Did post that question online yesterday about video. Like, she posted it, and I was thinking, like, you know, it'd be a little bit of half and half. It wasn't, by no means. It was an overwhelming response of yes.
I was hoping there's gonna be a no.
Nope, sorry, Greg.
I don't want everybody, Greg. I got a face for radio, not TV, you know.
We'll put some makeup on you. But it was I think the last time I checked is about 25 or 30, I guess, maybe. And it was only one no. You better jump on there and vote no, Greg. Help out that case.
I don't think it matters at this point.
But so we're praying into that and seeing the possibilities and what that takes to get started. And we're always looking ways to serve the body and the community better. Again, we had another. She was going to town yesterday, and she just – She texted me just to say how much clearer the radio is with that processor. Like, she was like, "You are right. This thing is just, it is just pumping so much better." And we praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, it sounds good. It seems like, so whenever I go to LaRue County on Fridays, I go so far, and then I can switch back and forth to 91.1 and 91.5, and kind of one's a little less worse than the other, but at that point, because I get so far away, you know. But it's I guess it's just more clear and more crisp. It ain't so like, just, I don't know, was it chalky, I guess you would say, or just kind of like, I don't know, crunchy kind of. I don't know how to say it, but it just had a lot of pops and crackles in it.
Well, it's that little piece of equipment's done amazing things, and praise the Lord for that. And so we're really excited for where we're going. As always, if you have Bible questions, 270-230-6337, get them in. We'd love to answer them on air for you.
Yeah, the thing about that, you know, the share-a-thon and all that, you know, when God gives a vision, he makes the provision.
That's right.
You know, I mean, how many times do we hear Brother Ron say that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not to give Brother Ron any credit, but that's just his experience and what he was sharing, and that's what happens. You know, he makes us a way. It's all him.
Yeah. Yep. We do need to be in prayer, though, before I get announcements or anything. We really need to be in prayer for Nigeria. We've talked about this several times. There's a complete genocide of Christians. I mean, it's just a complete all-out war at this point. 25 more Christians were killed just the other day in Nigeria. And it's heartbreaking to see what's going on, but we need to be praying for the Christians in Nigeria. And at this point, I don't know exactly how many have been martyred this year. I'm looking in this one article I was reading this morning just to see if it gave a number. But,
well, I mean, even the numbers that you get, you know, they're not, you can't consider those to be 100% accurate, because there's no telling how much goes on that we don't know about.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just what we see. You know, we're over here in America in our bubble, and, you know, the outside world is so much different, you know, and something that we can't even comprehend. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we don't even, you know, and there's, yeah. Pray for
yeah. So far, now this is, you know, and I agree with you, Greg, these are only, these are numbers are coming out with, but it's probably impossible for sure.
Yeah. Just
could be more.
Yeah. What's been reported
in 2025, Worldwide, 4,476 Christians were killed for their faith so far this year. Worldwide. That's all the world. 4,476 Christians. I agree with you that we really don't know. That's the reported one. That's still a lot of reported. All right. That's really a lot of reported ones who have been killed for their faith. 3,100 or 69% of those were in Nigeria alone. So 70% of all Christians killed for their faith this year has been in Nigeria. I think that's just a startling thing. And we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters worldwide, definitely, but be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria.
I mean, we don't, we have freedom of speech here that, that people don't realize the, what that actually is, you know, because they are allowed to say whatever they want and think however they want. But that's, that is not like that anywhere else. You know, it's, maybe a handful of other countries, but you know, like you can't, like China, Nigeria, there's, you know, Iran, all these different ones, you know, they have church underground, you know, they're not allowed to walk around holding a Bible or wearing their Jesus Loves You shirt, you know, the way that we do here, you know, it's just, we got to be careful and not be the Church of Laodicea here in America. And we need to be, you know, make sure that we're humble. And like you said, pray for our brothers and sisters who are in these other countries. It's so easy to, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I've got my own, I got this, I got that. But we need to humble ourselves and mourn with those that are mourning and or weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that are rejoicing.
Yeah. So, again, that's praying for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And according to Open Doors 2025, about 70% of all faiths, I mean, everybody, 70% of all those that were martyred for their faith this year alone have been just solely in Nigeria. So we need to be praying for those brothers and sisters there. Announcements for the morning before we get rolling into Hosea. Don't forget, tomorrow night is our first ladies' night meeting here at Bethel Fellowship. Not our first. It's our next ladies' meeting. And it's going to start at 6 o'clock p.m. with the soup and the potluck. Miss Renee Alderman's going to be bringing the word. We got some worship that's going to be happening. And so it's going to be a great night. We got food, worship, and the word, and a lot of encouragement and prayer with each other. Always ends up being fantastic nights for ladies. And just a lot of spiritual empowerment, spiritual engagement, fellowship, good food, good word, good worship. And God always moves in tremendous ways. So ladies, come on out at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. At the same time, at 5:30, that's the first home game of the year for BCA. So dads, you can come out to the game with the kids. Moms, you can go to ladies' night, and you can make a night of it. And we'd love to see you out here tomorrow night. Proverbs of the day, Proverbs 7, 1 through 2. Again, Proverbs 7, 1 through 2. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. I love that Proverbs. I love a lot of Proverbs, though, so I can't say much. But my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Treasure up his word. Treasure it. Treasure up the what he has given us and called us to do. Keep my commandments and live. And keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Quote of the day, Francis Chan says, lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sin. They want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. Love that quote. Oh, it's such a good quote. Lukewarm people really don't want to be saved from their sin. They want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. And
I think some of them would call that fire insurance.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a wonderful quote. Francis Chan's a wonderful Bible teacher and just has some really great things that he has said over the years, but really like this quote from him. Again, lukewarm people really don't want to be saved from their sin. They really only want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. Well said. Well said, Brother Chan. All right, we are in Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And we are starting in verse 4. One thing we didn't get to say on verse 1 through 3, we talked a lot about it, the no knowledge of God, swearing, lying, murder, stealing, committing adultery, breaking all bonds, bloodshed, follow bloodshed. But I think you have to see, too, we talked with some brevity to it, but not in depth and unpacking. There is correlation between man's sin and effects from the earth. The earth is affected from man's sin. Like, I think we always have to remember that, because if you go all the way back to the garden, Adam and Eve's sin, it really affected the earth in dramatic ways. Man's sin affected the earth with the flood. Man's sin affected the earth with the Exodus and the ten plagues that hit the earth because of man's sin. You can go into Gideon and Judges and what's going on with the earth, but also the harvest of the earth being stolen from the Midianites because of why? Their sin. Elijah prays and shuts up the heavens for 7 years. Why? Because of their sin. Over and over, you see in the Old Testament specifically where man's sin correlated to things upon the earth, that the earth is surely affected from man's sin. And here he's saying, therefore, the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the fields and the birds of the heavens and even the fish of the sea are taken away. So I don't ever want to negate that, you know, and there is definitely possibilities. I don't want to say every time it storms and every time it does this, or every time there's a dry season of crops or anything like that, it's always that. But I never also want to count it out.
Yeah.
And, here, Hosea is showing us the correlation between the sin that is mentioned and the land that's mourning. So, verse 4. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse. For with you is my contention, O priest. He's actually pointing this at the priest of the land.
So all my, you know, what I... You know, I've got this. This right here is talking about having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, basically. And they're just, it's a lot of false teaching, false prophecy going on. You know, they're just leading the people astray to consume the reaction upon themselves. You see what I'm saying? To get gain. And they're using it like the name of the Lord to do it. And they're hiding behind the religion and all the things, you know, as they always did. You know, they do good for a while, then then they mess up again, you know. And this is, you know, what this is just having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. This is what that looks like in Hosea, is what he's describing here.
Yeah, it is a people who are, they're always trying to shift blame.
Yeah.
Like they have this form and they try to look so godly and they try to look so good, but they're trying to always accuse somebody else of the issues or the problems. And I think one of the greatest things that hinder us in our walk with the Lord sometime is our unwillingness to look in the mirror and say, I need to repent. We're always trying to get other people to repent, but it's like, no, I, and he's telling them, let none accuse.
And see, that right, what comes to me is the blind man that was, I was blind, but now I see, and they was questioning the Pharisees. And he said, well, he mentioned something like maybe he could be your teacher too. He was talking about Jesus saying that to the Pharisees, that maybe he could be your teachers. And then the Pharisee guy, he condemned him, said, you've lived your whole life in sin, you know, and just run him down. Lived his whole life in sin. He doesn't know anything about the scriptures or whatever, and then just cast him out of the temple. But that's, you know, that's how man's religion is. It's selfish, it's self-centered, and it is for, gain of the for itself. You see what I'm saying? To build itself and to withstand itself. Does that, you know, to it's got to guard it so that it doesn't fall. You know, it's got to keep the light covered so that you don't see the darkness. You see one, and that's how all man's religion is. Whatever you put your fill in the blank, whatever religion that is of man, it's all the same. This is what it's describing right here.
Yeah. And he's calling them priests. I don't think he's talking just to the priesthood. I think he's alluding to Israel as priests, because priests were ones who labored before the Lord, served the Lord, worshipped, ministered unto the Lord. And he's basically saying, oh, priest, you're supposed to be a nation of priests, but you're not accepting responsibility. You're not doing what I've called you to do. You are always accusing somebody else. You're never taking the issue upon yourself. You're never repenting. You're not seeing it. You've always got an accusation against somebody else. And he says, you shall stumble by day, and the prophet also shall stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother, and my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Strong language.
Yeah.
And here he's telling the people of Israel, you're going to stumble. You're going to stumble in the good times, and even when I bring the people, the prophet, to preach to you in your darkness, you're still going to stumble. You're not hearing it.
Yeah.
You're not hearing it. And he said, because you're not hearing it, I'm going to destroy your mother. Now, your mother here would be the land. He's destroying the land.
Yeah.
And it's Israel. He's saying, I'm going to take away this land from it. You're going to lose it. And my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because we go all the way back up in the early chapter. Why are these people committing these sins? Because of knowledge. They've lost the knowledge of the Lord. They've lost the knowledge of the Word.
Where does it help me here? And hopefully I'm not having some homemade scripture, but God divorced Israel. Is that right? Where did that take place, or is that just a theology?
It took place in Hosea.
Okay, that's what. Okay, I couldn't remember. Okay, I was going to say, because that this mother part is Israel. You know, that divorce of Israel. I believe is what he's alluding to here. You know, like you said, the land and all the promises thereof and all the things.
Yeah. And he's telling them why you're destroyed. You've lost the knowledge of who I am. You've lost the fear of who I am. You've lost your obedience, and you've turned to sin. And he says, because you have rejected knowledge. So they just didn't have a lack of it. Knowledge they did have, they also rejected.
Rejected it, yeah.
And he said, therefore, I'm going to reject you from being priest to me.
Yep.
And he's not talking about a priest. He's talking about people of Israel. He's saying, because he was making for himself a nation of priests.
Yeah.
And now he's basically rejecting Israel as a nation. And he says, since you have forgotten the law of your God, he says, the law of your God, not the law of God. He's saying, the law that I've given you is a law that I am, because I'm your God. And he says, you've forgotten the law of your God.
Yeah.
And he said, I will now forget your children. This is very strong
language.
He's
laying it down. He's laying it down right here.
Yep. And MacArthur says, their position of power and glory, abused in succeeding generations by the eating of the sin offerings, would be turned to shame. Being no different than the people, the priests who would have been faithful would share their punishment. And having rejected you from being a priest, it's the Lord's rejection of Israel serving as priests before the Lord among all people.
And I wrote this on my little side note here, a quote, big thing that says, read and learn for yourself, and or end up like these people. You know, it's never take someone's word. Always study yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always study the word for yourself. Always, you know, never take what somebody's teaching you. Because here it is, these people, these priests, so-called priests, are teaching the people wrongly. They're teaching them wrongly. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, they're, you know, of course, back then they didn't have what we got. They couldn't just go. They had to go up there to learn. You know, well, now apply this for today. If we just sit around and listen to everybody and not study for ourselves, there's so many different views out there. I believe this. I believe that. I believe, you know, you have to sit, you have to study for yourself and pray and seek the Lord for revelation.
Yeah.
Always, always turn to the Lord.
I feel like Hosea speaks so much to the American church.
What is salvation? I believe
the more I read it, the more I see just how America has gone in the way of Israel in a lot of areas. And verse 7 really speaks this to me. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. And I could just see that, like,
I agree.
The more we increase, the more sin increased.
The more progressive we get, the farther from God. You know, they take the yeah, I 100% I agree with you on this.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we talked about this last night. Miss Crystal did an awesome job on, you know, jealousy and talking about that spirit of jealousy, mm-hmm. which basically means when we become a jealous person. Like,
yeah.
there's demonic entities and there's demonic manipulation and seducing spirits. Yeah. And they want us to take hold of this. But when we let jealousy permeate our hearts, when we let that, and we started talking about that, it builds a worldview. And if you look at even America right now, what sells? Jealousy. I need this because they've got this, or I need this because it's not good enough, or I need to upgrade this phone, or I need to upgrade that computer. I need to upgrade that technology. I need to upgrade that car. Why? Because my neighbors did. I need to keep up with them. And it's a reciprocal cycle of jealousy and envy and covetousness, everything the Lord has warned and rebuked us for. But the more we get and the more we have, the more we sin.
Yeah. Well, verse 10 right here.
Read it.
Yeah, it says, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. All right. Well, I see this right here. They left off to take heed to the Lord. You know, I see this once in grace, always in grace thing out there. You know, I said the prayer. I repeated after him. I'm good. You know, I don't have to. I'm good. It says they left off the part where you continue. You know, they left off the part where we got to abide in him. They leave off the part where, you know, it's just a one-time thing, and then you're good the rest of your life. You know,
yeah.
I see that right there. You know, and it's how, if that's the case, where's the regeneration? You know, where's the being made new? You know, he the begin a good work and you will perform it till the day of Christ. You know, it's a continuation. It's a process of sanctification that, like you talked about, you call it sloppy grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and that's we see that a lot,
yeah.
in America today.
And know? I can even see how we are people who you could do physical eating. We eat and we're never satisfied. We always want,
yep.
more. I'm guilty of that too. But also we eat of things, but we always want more. We never find contentment.
And oh man, that goes back. Like, if anybody's ever experienced anything in the world, you know, the world gives you its best first, you know, and whatever it is, I don't care what, you know, the worldly things, the first time is always the best. And then you strive and strive to get back to that, what you felt the first time. And before you know it, you're so far deep into whatever that you can't see your way, yeah. out, you know? And that's this right here, man. It
will permeate every facet of our life too. Not just like what you were talking about. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, even with people who get caught up in increased addictions and strong,
yeah.
codes,
yeah.
like you were talking about that first time, they're always chasing that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also we fall victim into that other areas too. Like, I know even in ministry, we fall victim into that. Like,
well, that goes across more, you know, it's not just addiction. It's, you know, I'm with you like that.
Yeah.
So like, what you're going to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, even in ministry, like,
yep.
God's doing these amazing things, but we're always looking for more and more. And we call it spiritual,
thing.
But I don't think that always is, because I think finding contentment and peace,
yeah.
in the Lord, and stop relying on our own ability to, yeah. manipulate and create things, and rest in him and allow his spirit to do what he does. Because,
yeah.
if I draw men, they're not drawn. The Holy Spirit must draw men.
Yeah.
And
look for the next big service,
yeah.
The next big, you know, get together. Oh, what? I gotta do this or that. I guess it was on a movie or something. The preacher, I gotta do this big thing next, you know, to really get them in there. And you know, I can't remember what
we
it gotta
was. Run off the momentum that we have right now.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
that it becomes dangerous.
Yeah,
and we eat and we're not satisfied.
Yeah,
and because we're finding our fulfillment in the things that we see instead of the one that we love.
Yeah.
And that's, there's so much danger in that.
Yeah.
And
Jesus, in him, there is no disappointment.
Mm-mm.
There's no disappointment in Jesus Christ. So,
no.
You know, if we're there, if we find ourselves disappointed, we find ourselves not full, we're probably looking after the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We are looking at the wrong thing.
Because when we eat the wrong thing, we really won't be full.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
It's a falsehood.
It will satisfy for a moment.
Yeah. That's
maybe.
What I found with, and I'm, my diet's going to get back into track a little bit here, but I'm doing okay. But when I eat things that are not good for me, I have a false sense of fullness.
Yeah.
I'm bloated, but I'm not full.
And you're hungry in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is when we eat things that are ungodly. And even going in that next part, they shall play the whore but not multiply.
Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. All right, what is leaven? So when you put leaven into bread, it makes it rise. You know what makes it rise? It's just it pockets of air, pockets of emptiness that swells and puffs the bread up. It's still the same amount of dough, but it's full of air. It's full of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's what it is. Beware of leaven.
And they shall play the whore, but not multiply. To me, there's a lot of things you could say in this. And there's a lot of things this would be application straight to where Hosea was. But to us, I can really see this in America as abortion.
Well, yes, on this. I want to, on a spiritual side of it too, because I agree 100% with that.
Yeah.
But on the spiritual side too, you know, when it talks about you don't know who your father is. So they're producing disciples in falsehood, so they don't really know who their father is. You know, they run around, they think this, they think that, but they don't know who their father is. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, anytime a woman of that, you know, would have, they don't know who the dad is.
Well, I would hear specifically in Hosea,
spiritual
inclination, spiritual, you know, like the spiritual revelation that he'd be trying to get them is you've left your God. You went to other idols.
Yep.
You went to other idolatry. And I'm 100% agreeing with that spiritually.
Yeah.
And I think physically we're in that same place where people have engaged in so many different type of sexual sins.
Yeah.
And that in itself was supposed to be for procreation. It was meant to reproduce, to multiply the earth.
Yep.
And now that multiplication has been taken away.
Yeah.
Because we've made it easy to abort the baby. And so you're playing this part. You're doing all these sexual sins. That
goes back to that quote that you quoted.
Yep.
What was it? Don't want to be held.
They don't want to be forgiven of their sin. They want to be forgiven of their penalty of their sin.
Yeah, that's what it is. Something like that. Yeah. However that was.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And then verse 11, whoredom, wine and new wine, which take away the understanding. So they're giving their minds and they're being altered. And the New Testament tells us to be sober minded.
Yeah.
These are being what would be called corrupted and perverted minded. They're being altered by their idolatry. Their minds are being altered and they're losing their understanding. When we participate in idolatry, when we are drinking on religion, when we're drinking upon alcoholism, when we're drinking upon drugs, when we're giving our mind to passivity of other things, we're losing our ability to comprehend and understand. And you know where Romans 1 talks of this. The New Testament talks of this. Their conscience seared with a hot iron because of sin. Romans 1 is a people who knew the truth, rejected the truth, and chose to worship the creation over the creator, and now they're participating in vile affections, and they've lost all capacity to understand of what's going on. They're blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, blinded until the light of the gospel comes. Like, when we give ourselves to other things, our sober-mindedness is altered, and we're not able to grasp and understand.
Yeah, man, that's a preach right there.
Yeah, we're gonna stop there. It's a good stopping point, and I'm gonna mark it so I have it ready tomorrow morning. But
which one you stopping at 11?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good stopping point for me. I'm gonna mark it.
I could go on.
It is easy to go on here.
Let's just do Jose the whole 2 hours. Let's do it the whole 2 hours.
There is so much in Jose that I've found since studying it this time through that does correlate with America so much.
Yeah. Well, we got the name Jose means salvation.
Yeah.
So.
Well, first trivia question of the morning. We're going to take a quick break and come back here. How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back. No answer yet for that trivia question. How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? You got Bible questions. We'll attempt to answer them. 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337. And love to answer Bible questions.
I just got an announcement just come to me.
Look at this.
My preacher, man, he just become a papaw.
Oh,
so happy birthday to Ava Grace.
Ooh.
She just everything's perfect. He said so. Mason and Shelby Decker, that's his son. That's Curtis Decker's son, Mason, and his wife Shelby. They just had their first baby, Ava Grace.
Wow!
So everything's perfect. They said so.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, Brother Curtis. Congratulations.
He's been so anxious to get a hold of that grandbaby. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Blessings upon blessings.
Yeah.
We also, drawing a blank here. Don't forget ladies' meeting tomorrow night. I do want to remind them. I'm so excited for the ladies tomorrow night with Miss Renee. She wasn't able to be with us today, and Miss Hannah's not either. Both of them have some things going on at home, and so nothing bad. Just they're, you know, that's their business to tell. They weren't able to be with us today,
yeah.
But it is we miss them. But I know the Lord be with them. Amen. Me and Greg's here holding down the fort. We got a wonderful guest. I'm pretty pumped about our guest this morning. Brother Evan Wilkerson's going to be joining us again this morning. I said it last night on the radio at church. A lot of people just know him as David Wilkerson's grandson, but I've really got to. I've enjoyed getting to know just Evan. Like,
yeah,
because
his story, man.
Yeah,
boy, I talked to a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know?
He texted me last night late, and I told him just whatever the Spirit leads, and
yep.
And so he wants to talk about evangelism and the end time and sharing the gospel and loving people well.
Oh,
and,
good.
And so yep. I'm really excited about that, just sharing the heart of Jesus with people and loving people. And his testimony is really powerful, and I'm sure he'll get back into some more of that because it plays a big part in evangelism, sharing our testimony with people,
yep.
Sharing what God has done in our own lives, and He has the heartbeat of the Father and the capacity to really reach a lot of people with his testimony of
yeah.
what God's done in his own life. And so excited for that at 8:30. It's going to be a great interview. And so I know a lot of people still go, you know, David Wilkerson's grandson. And I really like Evan. Like,
yeah.
I just
yeah.
like Evan. We've kind of text back and forth some, and just a really, really nice, godly young man. And so excited for that at 8:30.
Well, it just hit me. I'm probably in trouble now because today is also my little girl's birthday.
Greg.
Yeah, Lila. So,
how old is Lila?
She is 8.
8 years old.
Yeah. So they held off the little one until today so they could have it for Lila's birthday. Give her a birthday present.
How generous of them. How generous of him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Y'all got big birthday plans?
Yeah. What's that thing up there? Malibu Jacks or whatever, uh-huh. where we ride go-karts and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got to hurry and get all my inspections done and then run home, and then we're going to go up there and
play.
Yeah.
All right.
Dad's going to have a good time up there.
You're going to have
her birthday.
Are you going for you or her?
For her, for sure, yeah. For yeah. 100%.
100% for her.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, while I'm there. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And I guess it's worth noting, too, that the shutdown is officially over.
Oh, good.
Ended yesterday. Last night, President Trump signed the final piece of paper to open back up the government. So there we are.
I think when they shut the government down, they should just shut down the payment to the politicians. Get everything else going.
A lot of yeah. people agree. But at least, praise God, the shutdown is over. I always hate that I even have to preface this every time we say it, because it's just, you know, I know there's those who abuse the system.
Yep.
But gosh, there's so many that need it.
They got to have it.
There's so many kids and so many children and young single moms that really do rely on that.
Yep.
And here's the one thing, you know, I've even said this on air about church issues. Like, we've got a lot of things to fix in the church.
Yeah.
If we force fixed everything overnight, people become collateral damage.
Yeah.
You've got to walk with grace and mercy and wisdom. And the last thing you ever want is children starving to become collateral damage of a political
yeah.
ploy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the kind of stuff that was happening. And you have to pray for the wisdom of the Lord. And
yeah, and I think it's where this is where churches should be shining.
Absolutely.
You know, like the government, we shouldn't be dependent on the government. You know, we should be able to go to a local assembly somewhere for a need, and they should be able to help that need. You know,
yeah.
again, there's going to be abuses. I get all that, but you know, we the Lord provides, and
yeah.
we just pour out what He's poured into us. And let it go where it goes.
Yeah, I love how Miss Jeannie said it Tuesday. When you give it, period.
Period.
It's in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
Because you're giving unto the Lord.
Yeah.
You're not just giving unto people, because He says when you fed the one that was hungry, when you
yeah.
gave thirst to the one that was thirsty, when you visited the one in prison, He said, you did it unto me. And they're like, you was never in prison. When was you thirsty and we gave you drink?
You did the least of these.
He said, when you done it to them, you've done it to me. Yeah. And so we do it with the understanding we're doing it unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And whatever happens after that, that's on them, not us. We're giving to the Lord, and the Lord will honor that. But you know, we here, and I know so many other churches, I think Potter's Hope's giving away food this morning. So if you need to go down there, I think they are this morning. I know a lot of churches around here are stepping up their distribution, and they're trying to serve however they can. If you're hungry or you need diapers or baby formula or something like that, you come to us, and we'll do anything in our world possible. If it's possible with us, we'll get it done for you. You know, we're not going to give you the money to go buy it. We'll probably go buy it for you.
Yeah.
But we'll make sure you have that food, and we'll make sure you have that baby formula or diapers or whatever you need. And I know there's other churches all over. I know Clark's community is generous. I know Potter's Hope's generous. I know there's so many churches across the community. And of course, if you're in Grayson County, what Miss Debbie Childress does with the Grayson County Food Alliance, it's just incredible what she does there for the community. And she does it, in that position. But I can just, every time I talk to her, I'm always wowed at her heart of service. She's doing this as unto the Lord. I know it's a public entity. I know it's all these kind of things, but she is there on mission from Jesus. And I love her heartbeat, and gosh, I just love what she's doing. And so there is a lot of help. And I agree, Greg, this is the moment for the church to step up. And I praise God, a lot of churches have.
Yeah.
I have seen tremendous responses from the church in this season, and so many churches stepping in there. So I never want to belittle that. Like that whole TikTok challenge or social experiment, as they call it, I just don't feel like that represented the church well. I think there are those who would say no, but I think a lot of people saying no or doing this because of they've been burned or they've been this, and you just can't. This is where Jesus tells us to forgive 7 times 70. You may not help that one person again, but you can't stop helping others.
Yeah,
and you know. And if you're a minister out there, and like, you know, don't give them money. Like, you know, we've helped people with other things, and we're not going to say everything, but how we don't ever really distribute money to people. Like, we distribute needs.
Yep.
So if you need food, we get you food. If you have no place to stay and it's going to be 10 degrees tonight and it's going to be in your car and you have a baby, we might buy you a hotel room for the night. Like, yeah. You know, but we're not giving the money, we're giving the need.
Yeah.
And so use wisdom. I'm all for that. But also, it's very easy to become hard-hearted.
Yeah.
And my prayer is that our hearts become softened and that we are very softened, not just to, you know, cry and weep and all that, but I'm softened to the will of God.
Yeah, listen.
And softened to the needs of people.
Yeah, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is, let the Spirit lead. Give us an ear to hear what He's leading us to do. You know, when these people come or whatever, the Spirit, you know, just give an ear to hear.
Yeah. Don Powell in Upton distributes food every Wednesday. One listener said they believe. So there's a lot of ministries that distribute food. I know.
What's that other one he preaches on here?
Philip Trent.
Philip Trent. Yeah.
In Hinesville area. Yeah. We've got, locally, we've got Hilltop over there does a food bank. Yeah. I'm trying to think of all. Methodist Church does a hot meal each week.
Yeah.
And Fordsville, there is another food ministry.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. If we can just get the word out, I think a lot of the struggle is just letting people know what's available to them. You know, a lot of people, they're not in the church circle. You know what I'm saying? They're not, you know, they're out doing whatever, you know, work and doing the things, but they're not, you know, church. They don't go to church. They don't, you know, and they all they know is the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we should be out evangelizing.
Yeah.
You know, tell them, you know, talking about the Lord and doing the things that way. Well, maybe they will spark interest, sow a seed in them and get them in, you know, and just start shining a light in the darkness.
Yeah. We could do the legwork of here through the radio station.
Yeah.
If your church has a food bank or food distribution,
yeah,
you could get it to us and we could compile some kind of list or something like that.
That would be good.
In the tri area,
what
churches do, and we can share that with people. We could probably do some legwork on that. We would just need a lot of people to text in and let us know what's going on, the dates and the times, and where you're located. We could start sharing that information a lot more to give people the accessibility to where they can find help. Because I can tell you, a lot of people are struggling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, as a pastor, I hear from, I talk to them. Groceries are so high. I mean, at this moment, like, it's just, I know I have 7 kids at home, 8 kids total, and it is expensive for groceries.
Now, I've been hearing how good the economy is and this and that. I'm like, well, okay, well, where?
Can you show me where?
Where is that at? I don't, you know, because groceries is still through the roof, you know? I mean, it's, Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it either. I see inflation still growing. I don't see it going down. I see it going up.
Yeah.
And
that goes back to what we just read in Hosea here, the greed of and all the things. I mean, that's what inflation is. It's just the greed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not being full.
Amen. Well, again, trivia question of the morning. How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? If you got that answer, you could be working on it for next break. If you got a Bible question, 270-230-6337. Oh, man. Got some texts coming in. Just some of them are not pertaining to the radio. Actually, about none of them too much are for air. All right, I was hoping a question was coming in. Let's go back to Hosea, because I want to finish. If we got the time, I'd like to get to verse 15 at least. That'd be a better stopping point for us.
Hey, I was all for it. Let's do it.
I know Greg's all for it. 12. My people inquire of a piece of wood. Whew, man. They inquire of a piece of wood. How? I know that's just a phrase we could pass. But literally he's saying, my people. He's not saying those people or the people of pagan nations or Baal worshipers. He's saying, my people are inquiring of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom had led them astray, and they had left their God to play the whore. What strong language here in Hosea that we're finding in verse 12 of chapter 4.
And I've got 2 Thessalonians, that's hard to say, Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. I'm going to go read that, and then you go ahead, and because I think it pertains.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about how we are looking for direction thing in the things made by hand and things that are earthly, things that are temporal, things that are objects, not the one who is creator. We're worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And out of their own walking staff gives them oracles. You know, this could be a lot of different things. We're searching for answers in earthly means. We're searching for answer in our own wisdom. We're searching answers in the things that are propping us up. Like a walking staff props us up, and yet they're looking for this walking staff to give them oracles, to give them prophecies. Yeah. The things that we are building, the things we are crafting, like we're building this stuff out of this piece of wood, and we're expecting it to give oracles.
In 2 Thessalonians, you know, no, that was taking place then, but I believe as a foreshadow of what he's talking about here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. It says, even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, and that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, mm-hmm. that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's what Hosea's talking about there.
Brother Robbie from church had sent about that same verse right when you started to read it. So, and I think there's a lot of that we are under delusion, that God has blinded us. There is, and here they're literally looking for answers. And to me, this could be oracles. Now, let's see here. I'm going to flip over here. Let me go to my Strong's.
Well, and this one here, while you're doing it, this is what happens when you seek guidance from men instead of guidance from God. You know, we should learn, you know, and learn the Bible. You got to have a teacher, Bible teacher, you know what I'm saying? I understand all that, but your guidance should always come from the Lord, not from a man.
Yeah. Basically, they're looking for their staff to talk to them.
Yeah.
Declare something to them, prophesy to them.
Yeah.
And you say, that's crazy. We do it all the time.
I mean, how many times do you talk to your phone?
Look at horoscopes, look at crystal ball reading, tarot card reading. Like, we're seeking for things in our own ability. We're looking for things that we are creating and building to give us oracles and direction and guidance. And here, the Lord is rebuking Israel for it. He says, this is idolatry. This is what he's saying. You've gone to worship pagan gods. And a good example of this is like whenever they got the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in the temple of Dagon. Dagon, the first day they woke up and the temple, the pagan statue of Dagon's what? Toppled over. Because you can't mix profane and holy together, because profane will bow its knee to holy when it's in the room, and the glory of God. And what do they do to Dagon? Like, if my God that I built was on its face before the ark, I would be like, well, that's probably trying to tell me something. What's the Philistines do? They pick him up. If you have to pick up your own God, you got a really bad God.
Yeah. Well, he fell over. I'd pick him up.
Yeah. If you have to, there's never a time I have to help my God. My God doesn't need my help. I never have to pick him up. He's never lost a battle. He's never fell down. He's never stumbled.
Maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he's on vacation.
Maybe he's taking a nap. I don't know.
He's taking a nap. Oh, Elijah, that's funny.
Yeah. And if you have to pick up your God, you probably need a new God. Yeah. And yet they kept worshiping him. And finally, the Lord said, I'm going to break this thing in half. And they were, you know, there's a lot about Dagon. He's half fish, half man. You could see so many things into that and the foreshadow of what that would be, of lukewarmness and complacency and apathy and hypocrisy and all these kind of things. But I think here, though, Israel is really getting it. The Lord's not mincing words with him. And he's saying, you've inquired of a piece of wood. And this piece of wood is their walking staff. And they're expecting the walking staff that they had probably whittled away a little bit. They've been using to prop themselves up with to give them oracles. And he says, verse 13, they sacrificed on the top of mountains and burnt offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters play in the role of the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin.
Man, I got, you know, people living one way, teaching another way.
Yep.
You know, they're saying, you know, they're having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're, you know, they're just false. I mean, they teach false. They live falsely. They look one way on the outside, but inside they're just, you know, rotten.
Yeah. And here he's talking about the daughters and the brides committed adultery, and he's not going to punish them when they do that, or the brides. And I don't think he's saying he's ignoring what they're doing, but you have to see what he's saying. For the men themselves, the men are leading them into them.
Well, and the thing is, basically, he's letting them go their own way. He's not gonna, correct them. He's not gonna draw them back. He's okay if that's what you want.
You're following them.
Well, you can have it.
You're following them, and this would be Romans 1 of that. He's giving them unto their vile affections.
Yes.
And he's like, you want this? I'll let
it's
you
all yours.
And this is the theology of what we would teach is a passive judgment. There's active and there's passive.
Yeah.
Active would be when the earth swallowed up, opened up and swallowed a couple thousand people whole.
That's pretty active.
That's an active punishment. Ananias Sapphira, active judgment.
Pretty decisive.
A passive judgment to where the Lord turns you over to your reprobate mind, turns you over to your vile affections. And we don't realize it, but that's judgment within itself.
Yeah.
Because he stopped drawing you. He stopped. His spirit does not always have to strive a man.
Yeah.
And we always think that there's always going to be tomorrow.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about this in men's Bible study, and I've always heard it, that God, we're guaranteed one chance. You know, I've always heard that, but I've never read that anywhere. What about you? That's a good question right there.
I mean, I don't think it's a scriptural precedent.
I was going to say, I think it's a homemade scripture. But I just, you know, what's your thoughts?
I don't think there's a scripture that says everybody's got one chance.
Yeah.
Think Romans 1 and Romans 2 and Romans 3 says that everybody understands to a point because of creation itself. Nature itself is testifying of the Lord.
Yeah.
And what they do with that intrinsic response, do they reject the Creator or do they accept the Creator? I think the Lord gives us grace to where we are at and what we know. I would go that far, but I would agree that there's not this one statement everybody gets at least one chance.
Because I even remember saying that in my early walk, you know, I've forgot about it. Actually, I'd forgot about that statement entirely, and then one of our young men brought it up. You know, and he said, where's that? I was like, well, I remember I used to say that a lot. I'd forgot about it. Yeah. But I don't know, because now that I've, you know, 20 years into this walk, I don't think I've ever come across that.
And I think a lot of people take that as everybody's going to hear the gospel once.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I think the Bible's actually very clear. They're not everyone will, because the end times come when the gospel is preaching to all the nations. Because right now, there's many nations and there's many tongues that don't have the Bible in their native language.
Yeah.
Nobody's preaching the gospel to them. Yeah. There's no missionaries going to some of these villages and some of these parts. There's people, I mean, that one testimony I shared, 6 kids in the backyard playing here at Bethel Fellowship in the middle of Brett County, in the middle of Bible Belt USA, six teenagers had no idea really who Jesus was, and they were playing at a church. And so,
wow.
You know, I think we have to be careful, because there's a lot of people that don't hear the gospel, and this is where we have to be very diligent, because we want everybody to hear the gospel. Miss Gretchen sent me Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age. I think here that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people.
Is she pertaining to my question, or to, is she going back to Hosea on that? She's probably going back to Hosea on that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, I do think this could apply, and I want to unpack this a little bit more. So, yeah. I'm not for sure, like, we know definitely the gospel's not preached to everybody at one time. Like, now God shows up in dreams, like, especially in Muslim nations, dreams happen.
Yeah, I was going to say dreams.
We hear of missionaries going into remote villages and remote islands and sharing the gospel. But there's people all across the world today that's never heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And to Greg's question, she says no to Greg's question.
Yeah.
And I do think salvations appear to all people.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, I think that the Lord deals with, that's why I want to bring up Romans 2 at first.
Yeah.
I don't think the gospel is preached to every person, because if the gospel is preached to every person, then Jesus would come back.
Yeah.
I do think though that creation itself testifies.
Well, there's a drawing that says, I'll be lifted up between the heavens and earth. I'll draw all men unto me.
Yeah.
Now there's all, you know, there's different thoughts on that and this and that. Some people believe this and that, but to me, the way my understanding is, all means all. If I will draw all men unto me. Now, that's a drawing power that goes out. That is the call to all whosoever will, you know, and whosoever hears, you know, how will they hear without a preacher? And, you know, you go on to all these other things. So, yeah. And that was just something that come up that I'd forgot about.
Yeah.
You know, and then now, you know, I don't, like, at the time, I was this young whenever I used to say that myself, because I remember saying that. But I was a lot younger in the Lord, and that's what I had heard.
Yeah.
But I've since found, you know, there's a lot of what I call homemade scriptures out there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I do say this. Will the gospel be preached to every single person? I don't think so, unfortunately. I think the heartbeat is for it to be preached to all men. And this is why it's so important for missionaries and evangelists to rise up and go preach. But I do think through what Romans 2 tells us, creation itself testifies of the goodness of God. And I do think his spirit draws men. And I do think that he died for all men. I think all these are very true. We got to go to break. I was trying to filter through how I want to say these other things, but I'll think about it at break, because we need to get our trivia question in there again. Y'all are supposed to be studying it, prepared for it. This is the week of Kings here. How many chariots did the Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? How many chariots did Pharaoh take to capture Moses and his people? 270-257-2689. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. Good conversation. I have some more texts. Cool thing, though, we got Brother Danny Massey here. He called and got the answer right. First time calling in. It was really good to meet Brother Danny on the phone right there. Appreciate him listening and calling in, getting this answer right. It was 600 chariots, so his name gets in for that drawing. Good stuff there. Miss Lisa says, I think technology plays a big part in the gospel being preached to many worldwide, like we saw with the leaders do at the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Miss Gretchen said, we don't know how God's grace will appear to all. We just do our part and go where he leads, like telling those six boys playing basketball here at the church. Amen. I agree with that. Like, I think there's some way that God reveals himself to all men, even if it's just through creation. Because no man is without excuse. That's what I was trying to figure out how I want to say. Like, there's no excuse. But I do want to say, I think there will be those who pass away without ever actually having the gospel shared with them. But I think that God reveals himself somehow to them other than that. But I agree with you, Greg. I don't think there's a specific scripture that says one time. Like, I think the grace of God has appeared.
And I remember using that with God won't always strive. God's spirit will not always strive with man, you know. So there was like a ploy, kind of like a fear tactic. Hey, you got one shot. You're only guaranteed one shot. Maybe that's your only one shot because he won't, you know. And I think that was one of the things that kind of was what I was taught early on.
And I think one of the things we do is it is appointed unto man to die once and then comes judgment. Like we always associate these scriptures. And even if it's subconsciously, we start to correlate and parallel. And I think even that scripture is more or less talking about we're only dying once.
You know, we only got four scriptures left in this chapter. We could we could finish this chapter today if you wanted to.
Let's see here. Let me get back over there. Don't forget, Brother Evan's going to be on with us at 8:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Excited for that. I lost my place because I was in the New Testament. I went back there for a minute. And so we are, Greg really wants to finish this today.
Well, I just really like the book of Hosea. So, you know, we can always start 5, too, if we got time. I'm just here.
Greg's just sitting here all day talking about it. He says, though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-haven, and swear not as the Lord lives.
Right there. There's meaning to these names.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the meaning of these names helps you understand what he's talking about here. So the meaning of Gilgal, that's where they taught false doctrine and traditions of men. If you go back and you search this out and figure out what he's talking about, Gilgal, these guys deliberately taught false teachings, you know, and doctrines of men. All right. And now, this other one, neither go ye up to Beth Aven. So Beth is house and Aven is nothing, you know, so the house of nothing. Yeah, it's that is the leaven of the Pharisees. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's a house of nothing. Don't go up to that. You know, that's what it's called. Nor swear the Lord liveth. But any which way, I just, you know, that helps you understand different things, what the Lord's talking about here whenever he's telling us about this account of Hosea.
Yeah. Verse 16 says, like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone.
So Israel is back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. All right, so a lamb in a large place. Usually if you're feeding a lamb, you keep it up in a stall. You keep it, you know, close and, you know, you got it protected. And you keep it, you know, because you're feeding a lamb with a bottle. You're bottle feeding a lamb, basically. But if you keep it out, a lamb in a large open field, you know, this is a lamb. So this is, it's a bottle fed. It's still, you know, it's in a wide open field. It's open to whatever predators may be out there. It's open to the elements that's out there, you know, the hot and the cold. It's open to all these things, and it can wander away and get so far away from its food. You see what I'm saying? That it's anemic. It's just like a starving, hard place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's describing here. That's the meaning of this lamb in a large place. You know, I mean, he's still got him. But he's just not, like, he's watching him at a distance. He's not in his presence. He's not in the Lord's presence, this lamb, or, you know, this person. It's not in the presence of the Lord.
And he says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifice. And that's finishing chapter 4.
And that's bound by your own idols. The things that we look for, the things that we turn to in our time of trouble, the things that, you know, in our distress, in our worry, in our things, the things that we use to comfort ourselves. These are these idols that will bind us in time if we're not careful, if we don't recognize what's going on. You know, well, I just need to come in. I mean, I remember I used to, whenever I used to smoke. So it's been a long time since I smoked, but I'd get all wound tight or whatever. I'd smoke a cigarette, and I thought that would calm me down. You know, that was something that I would turn to make me feel a certain way. You know, and now you all can just fill in the blank out there, whatever that is for whoever out there. You know, if you're turning to something for comfort, this is what this is talking about right here. This is the idol that you can become bound by your idol.
Yeah. Well, I got some more text coming into that question that we were talking about earlier about pertaining to salvation to all men. One listener says, I agree. Jesus specifically instructed, go tell, preach the good news. However, I also believe God will draw people to him in the power of his Holy Spirit in times through visions and dreams.
Yeah.
We see this in Muslim countries where the Bible isn't even permitted. God can never be put in boxes.
Well, it says old man's a dream dreams and young man see visions or vice versa. And I'll pour my spirit upon your servants and their daughters and upon all flesh. Yeah.
I want to affirm and confirm that I agree wholeheartedly that God shows up in visions and shows up in dreams, and he does it over and over. But I think the greatest method that God has chosen to use is still through men. How will one believe if the gospel's not been preached?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we have to, I don't think you never see where the New Testament church was just relying on that. They were willing to go. They were willing to sacrifice everything and go. And I think that's what Jesus told them to do. You go and preach the gospel. And I think he does it, just like Romans 2. That even creation itself, he'll use that if necessary. Whatever's necessary, he will use. But Jesus said the last thing that will happen before he comes back is the gospel being preached to all nations.
Well, you know, for me, in my experience, I felt a drawing, but I didn't realize what it was. You know, I didn't know. You know, I bought an old race car, and I got it home. I just felt the emptiness there is what I remember. And it was just, I just noticed an emptiness that I never noticed in my entire life before, but it just stuck out to me. Well, I was buying an engine for that old car, and a guy, you know, I'd been to church, and I had plenty of people tell me how I was going to hell if I didn't change my ways. I'd heard that, I mean, my whole life. So, I mean, I knew about this and that or what, you know, whatever that, you know, but this guy told me about Jesus. And he specifically told me the good news that Jesus loved me, you know, and that he's for me and he's not against me, and that his hands are stretched out for me, you know. And he told me, he said, your heart's got a door on it and the knob's only on your side, is what he told me. He said, you're the only one that can open it up. And, you know, whenever he did that, all that stuff that I was feeling, you know, then I found out what it was I was feeling. I didn't understand at the time. I still didn't. But then it wasn't, you know, after that, I went home and you know, the Spirit now, I didn't know at the time. The Spirit at this time was leading me. You know, everything in me said, I need to go down and listen to this, what this guy had to say down here at this church. You know, everything in me was telling me that, you know. And I didn't, you know. I remember telling my wife, and she was like, okay, is something wrong with you? So, but I told her I had to go down there and hear what he had to say. So I go down there, and I hear it. I'm hanging on every word, man. I just couldn't get enough of what he had to say. And, I didn't know anything. You know, I just knew that drawing power was in me, and then I wanted more of it. And I remember it was a Saturday night. I was thinking about, I was so excited about going to church to hear about this Jesus the next morning. I was laying there in bed, and my wife asleep there next to me. And I just, like, you know, I was going over all the things, and I was so excited. And I remember I just said, Lord, you know everything I've done. You know, I can't change anything. I'm sorry. You know, forgive me. I can't, there's nothing I can do. I'm guilty. You know, I'm sorry, forgive me. And, man, I still didn't know what had happened. I mean, I do now, but at the time, I felt so, like, joy unspeakable right there. I have no words to describe just how clean and how it's like light, like I was floating almost. I mean, I wasn't floating, I wasn't levitating or none of that stuff, but I just felt so like the weight had been lifted off of me. And, you know, all the weight of the world that I was carrying is gone. And all that filth and all the things that I didn't even know about had been washed away. And I just felt so clean, you know. And it was all because somebody told me about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't tell me about all the things I was doing wrong. They told me about the love of Jesus. And God had already prepared my heart. And it already, you know, was working on me. And then this one obedient man told me about Jesus. And then the Lord saved my soul.
Yeah. And you know what I love? Because I can't agree with this text more. Like, I really do know the Holy Spirit shows up in dreams and visions. And yeah. He shows and reveal himself however he can. And I've heard a lot of testimonies and about this, where God has done this. But also correlating in these testimonies is where, like, when he shows up in this dreams or visions, somebody just shows up to share the gospel with them. Or somebody just, yeah. You know, it's like the Lord really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's like sovereign. He's got this thing figured out, and he's orchestrating things.
It's weird.
But it's like, I've seen that parallel so many times where somebody's had this dream or vision, and then all of a sudden, like, a missionary comes to town. Or they're popping on the television, and a preacher on the television just starts sharing the gospel, and they're like, oh, I had a dream about this Jesus. And I could just see where God in his sovereignty, his goodness, and his kindness is revealing himself to men. And I think I know he does. I think again, through creation, dreams, visions, but this is where it's so important for us as the body of Christ to go. And here in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Brother Evan about evangelism and about the importance of going and the importance of sharing the gospel with the lost and the unbelievers and the hurting and the broken. Because you got to remember, Jesus said, I didn't come for the well. He said, I come for the sick.
Yeah.
He said, I come for those who are sick. Because the well don't need a doctor.
Yeah.
The sick does. They don't. The well's already got it figured out. And as the Beatitudes reminds us, their Beatitudes reminded, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who basically understand their need of a Savior. They need a Savior. And so I love this conversation. I do want to affirm, though, that there is not one scripture that every man's going to hear it one time at least. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's not a that's
I think
not a
God reveals himself to every man. But the only scripture we have that is the last thing to be done before Jesus comes back, according to Matthew, is the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all nations. And we're not there yet. We are not there yet, unfortunately. But praise God, by his grace, we are going to get there closer and closer every single day. 270-230-6337 is a number to text. If you got questions, we'll try to answer them. If you got comments, we love them. If you got complaints, we give them to Hannah. But we are always so thankful. Again, tomorrow night, don't forget our ladies meeting here at 6 o'clock, starting in our first basketball game at BCA is going to be at 5:30. We're excited for everything that the Lord is going to be doing tomorrow night and upcoming nights. Happy birthday to Brother Greg's little girl. He's going to suffer and go hang out tonight.
I'll have fun tonight. I'll suffer in the morning.
You'll suffer in the morning? Well, yeah. You got to get up.
I got to get up.
From having the fun.
Straighten out all, everything that got stiff while I was asleep.
Oh, man. One listener said, this is why Christian radio, such as Box 2, is so important. The word is going forth. Amen.
And not only is the word going forth, but we need to apply it to our everyday so that people can understand it. You know, we need to, in all these things, all these accounts from Genesis to Revelation is for our learning. Is, you know, yeah, these are actual events that actually happened to people at one point or another. But everything in here applies to your everyday. You know, if you seek the Lord, you can find wisdom in all these things. You know, whatever somebody's going through in one of these accounts in this book, it applies to something that we're battling with within ourselves today. You know, and this is, God is a right now God. And this book's been around forever, but heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. His word is right now. And all these things from here, like if you're out there and you're struggling, you know, if you seek the Lord, he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, you know, if you find yourself battling and all the things, man, whatever it is that you know about the Lord, hold on to that thing, study that thing, and go deeper into whatever that is. If you only know just a little bit, well, go to that part that you know, and just go there and read and do the things and just seek the Lord. He will meet you there. You know, it's a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest of all, you know. But what the thing is, it ain't about the size. It's what you do with it. You plant it. And what that means is you got to put this in you. You got to plant it. You know, even, you know, and then it grows. It starts to take root, you know. So it doesn't matter how much you know or you don't know. Whatever you know, plant it. You know, go to it, read it, study it, you know, and just it will grow. It when you start in this area here, you know how this is. You'll start a study on something, and then by the time you're done with that, it's already branched out of your old, you got side notes running you every which way, you know. So yeah, it's here for us every day, you know, and it will bring you through. It's a right now word.
Yep. Amen. One question we've got to get to: does the parable of the wise man who built his house in the rock, is it referring to saved and lost? Well, I think the wise men in the parable are those who give themselves to Jesus, who build their life upon his rock, upon his word, upon him, that when the storm comes and the storm washes, the rock's not moved. Sand gets moved, yeah. Dirt gets moved. That would be
Hay and stubble.
That would be things pertaining to our secular humanism, our thoughts, our patterns, our worldviews. I think when we build our life upon the Word of God, it's saying that we will not be shaken, because the Word of God will never be shaken. And when the storm hits, we're able to endure because we have substance under our feet and not sinking sand. And so I would say that parable, the wise man, is talking about saved people who are building their life by God's grace upon the Word of God, who's given themselves to the Word of God, who's making decisions based upon the Word of God. Like, you know, nothing upsets my spirit, I guess, more whenever in the church, in our life, like those who are born again, we just ignore Scripture. We're just going to build it the way we want to. We listen to politicians and rhetoric more than we do the Word of God. We listen to talks, and we listen to bankers and financial people. We listen to everybody else other than the Word of God. And I'm not saying that all these people don't have their place, but I'm saying everything that they say, everything wisdom-wise we got to take, it has to submit to the Word of God. Like, we don't get to circumvent the Word of God because of something that, you know, well, I don't know. It just worked well for them, so I'm going to do it this way. With the Word of God telling you another way, but it worked well for them.
Well, what he's talking about, that being bound by idols, that verse 19, you know, what we was just talking about, that's what that is. That is the sinking sand. You know, what we was talking about in Hosea is a description of building on the sand and not on the rock. You know, they're building on all these false idols and false teachings and false things, but they refused, you know, they refused the instruction of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that instruction of God is the rock, the foundation. Jesus Christ is the rock, you know, and he is our instruction. He is our everything, you know. In him and by him was all things made. There was nothing made that was made that I can't remember how that goes. I get so turned around, but anyways, but Jesus is that rock.
Yeah. And building ourselves upon that biblical worldview. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm not saying that we don't ever listen to other experts or other whatever you want to call them, but all that, even whenever they tell us something, we should submit it to prayer. We should submit it to the Word of God. Yeah. Is what they're telling me going against the Word of God? Is what they're showing me going against in Scripture? And I think that's building our house upon the rock. Because once we start putting sand, even if you go back to the leaven thing that Greg mentioned earlier, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
It grows really rapidly. And so, and even like, you know, we were talking last night about what we are eating is what we become. Well, what we eat digests and it gets into our whole system. I mean, you can take one little drop of something, put it in your mouth and swallow it. It doesn't just go to this separate part of the body. It digests in the whole body.
Yeah.
And so when we start to mix rock and sand together, eventually the sand will start rubbing at the rock. And you just don't have both. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And mammon wasn't just money. Mammon was the God. A mammon was a God. You can't be, and even going back to Hosea, we can't be idolatrous and building our life on the rock at the same time.
Yep.
So I think without a doubt that this parable, the wise man, would have been those who are born again, taking their life and placing it upon the rock of the word of God, Jesus' words, going all the way back to Proverbs, treasuring the commandment, treasuring the word of God as the apple of our eye.
Yeah, abide in me and my words abide in you.
Yes, and how important it is to create a solid base, that we will live on. And this is the grace of God in fullest display that he has given us the word of God. Could you imagine doing this without it?
I mean, true. Well, you know, his spirit, you know, man, just, you know, the fact that, you know, they talk about their staffs and these dumb idols that set up, like, what you call that guy, the fish man guy, what's his name?
Dagon,
yeah. Well, you know, these are just, they're I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just the spirit. You can feel it. He's in you. You know, it's like, it's just real. All these other things, they're temporary. They're false. They're fake. They don't last. They don't, you know, you may find comfort in them for a season, but eventually it will fade, and, you know, and it will go away, and you'll have to, you know, but the spirit is better every time. I've never ever experienced, had that experience. Well, the spirit was good, but man, last Saturday it was so, that's never been, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, this service was good. That's probably one of the best services I've ever been. And then the next week, wow, man, did you imagine that? You know, it has never went the other way with the Lord. It's always better. The, you know, what the world gives you, the best first, just like the wine, the, you know, that Jesus turned the water into wine. You know, it only gets better with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets better. It doesn't get worse. It only gets better in Jesus, should mm-hmm. I say. Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're getting ready to go to break, and we're going to connect with Brother Evan Wilkerson during that break, and we'll come back on. Excited to have a conversation with him pertaining to evangelism and reaching the lost, especially in this end times. Of one thing is certain, we are closer today than we were yesterday to his coming.
Amen.
We can all agree on that. And so excited to share the Father's heart for souls and more souls. And, you know, just what is the Lord doing, drawing people? The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready, our friend. Well, we're going to be right back here again after the break. Second trivia question of the morning. Now, are you ready? Get ready. How old was Uzziah when he became king? How old was Uzziah when he became king? We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. What a great day we've had so far. We got on the phone with us, Brother Evan Wilkerson. Brother Evan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Pastor Aaron. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, it's such a blessing. I still have people talking about the last time and the testimony that you shared and just the sweet spirit that was on the air. And a lot of people were impacted by your testimony. So we appreciate your openness and your willingness to share that. And excited for what the Lord has in store for this morning. And I know that we didn't get a lot into the changes that's kind of taken place and the vision of the ministry that you all have. So before we get into the main topic, can you take a little bit of time this morning just talk about kind of the shifts that's happened in the last year or so within the ministry?
Yeah, so at World Challenge, where I work, and my dad, Gary Wilkerson, is president there, he really felt a call from the Lord that they needed to focus on one thing. You know, World Challenge was doing a lot of different things, a lot of great things, but it was hard for people to follow exactly what we were doing and what to give to. And the Lord really impressed on my dad's heart to just focus on the one thing of serving orphans and widows. So James 1:27 says that pure religion that's undefiled before God is to visit the orphans and the widows. And so we just press on full head, just going forward with this mission and vision from God that we need to put all of our resources and efforts in serving orphans and widows. And Pastor Aaron, we've seen God's hand on it, this amazing growth since we started doing that. I mean, I'm just blown away by it. One example is that in the beginning of the year, we were serving around 2,500 orphans and widows collectively, and now it's almost 40,000 orphans and widows that we're serving. And we do that through the partners, the ministries that have already been doing the work. So we identify ministry leaders and pastors all around the world, whether it's Ukraine or Iraq, India, Nigeria, everywhere. We look for partners who are already doing this work of serving orphans and widows, doing it for the Lord, and doing it well. And we come alongside them, provide resources and training to help even further expand their ministry. And so we've seen God's hand on it and a great blessing through that.
Amen. And especially in the time in today, so many needs and so many hurts and so many single moms and so many orphans out there, it is really time for the church to stand up and arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's there's not as many what you would say orphans or widows here in the United States, but you do see so many children and the foster care system. There are plenty of widows here in Colorado Springs. I know a church that is serving widows, going door to door, providing meals. And it's just something important to notice again that passage exists. James 1:27, it says it so clearly, right? Visit the orphans and widows. And God says that this is pure religion. And so whether it's visiting foster care children or widows here in the States, or it's finding a way to partner with ministries like World Challenge or other ministries just to help those people who are in desperate need all around the world, mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you brought that into context, because you are right. Like, in the sense of orphans and widows, as we think of them in America, we don't have as much, but we also have, you know, just in the state of Kentucky, there was a report last year of just how many foster kids were sleeping in office buildings and, you know, because there's no homes. And so, and then if you go, now you go more worldwide, like Nigeria, we was covering that story earlier, just how 25 more Christians were martyred for their faith just recently at one time. And how many of those left orphans? How many of those left widows? And what is the church able to do to help that worldwide as well? So it's a lot there, but I know the Lord gives grace and empowerment to those who he has called into those mission fields.
Yeah, absolutely. God supplies the grace. You know, it's important to remember, you know, we can't do anything meaningful without the Lord. We need his strength, his wisdom. We need his grace to help us in these really important works and efforts.
Amen. So now, when we was kind of texting back and forth a little bit about what conversation to bring to the table today. The Lord laid in your heart, and I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities to share. You really felt impressed about evangelism, and especially in the end times. And I just would love for you to share the Father's heart of what you are feeling in this area.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Aaron. So the Lord did impress on my heart that because we're in the last days, I believe that we are in the last days. You know, even if it's today that the Lord comes back, praise God, but it could be 30 years, it could be 50 years, but either way, we know that the Lord is coming soon. Amen. We know that He will return soon. And so we have to be aware of that and living as if He could come back any day, any moment. And so the question really is, why are we still here? What if you're saved and you're born again, what are you still doing here on planet Earth? Well, you can love people. You can love God. We're called to glorify God in all that we do. But there's a specific task that God gave us that keeps us here on Earth. And once we've finished our role and we finished our mission, then we're going to go up to heaven. We're going to be with Christ forever. The Great Commission is what God has called all Christians to go and make disciples, teaching them all the commandments of the Lord, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ is with us in this mission. We don't have to do it alone, but nevertheless, it is our mission. And my heart was drawn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so I just feel like in these times where clearly things are going awry, and it's a little bit crazy day to day, a lot of it crazy, that we need to be aware of what's going on. And the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises. He will return. And He desires that no one should perish, that everyone should reach repentance. And so really the question is, what's our part? What are we called to do in this time? I believe that God has set us on mission, and because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He has called us to reach our family members, to reach our neighbors, to reach the strangers that we don't know, and share the love of the gospel, share the gospel with people. I think that's crucial in these days.
Yeah. Now, you know, we've kind of talked on this before on air, but we're going to move into the Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, New Year's. It's a big season of family get-togethers, a lot of friends. How do we begin to engage in these conversations for those that we know need the gospel?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it's really important to realize what the gospel is first, right? How are we going to share the gospel if we don't really know it ourselves? And as Christians, we would all say we know it, but do we really know it enough to be able to share it with somebody? I think that's a big point, Pastor Aaron. We have to think about how well we actually know the gospel. And I've even gone to lengths of memorizing it so that when I'm in a situation where there's a clear opportunity to share the gospel, I'm not struggling to find the words. I'm not struggling to know what to say. So if you look in the biblical text anyways about what the gospel is, it just means good news. And we've been saved in Christ. We've been born again. And so He's given us a message. And as messengers, our job is just to know the message, right? If we're called to be a faithful herald of the King, that means just a messenger of the King, that's our task, then we should really know the message. And so I would encourage everybody to first just memorize the gospel in your own words. Usually, the way that I go about saying it, there's about four or five components to the gospel. First is that God is holy and so good. But we are all lawbreakers, and breaking God's good law is punishable by death, eternal destruction. But the good news is, here's the key component, the good news is that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins by taking the penalty for all of our wrongdoing, all of our law-breaking. Mm-hmm. He took that penalty on the cross, died for our sin, and then he rose from the dead so that anybody who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And then I try to emphasize, too, that it's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. Jesus did all of the work for us so that we don't have to try to strive to get salvation that we could actually never earn in our own effort. So that's why Jesus did it for us. Mm-hmm. So there's a few components there, and people can be encouraged to word it in their own ways. But if we're going to share the message, we have to first be comfortable enough where, you know, it can just spout out of our mouth with no problem.
Yeah. Now, what about those who say, you know, you don't have to preach the message, you just need to live the gospel before people? How do we, what do you say to those?
Yeah, I think living the gospel is very important. You know, we have to show that we are Christians by the way that we live. We have to, because here's the thing, if you are preaching a message but not living the message, then you're, you know, considered a hypocrite. And we all, you know, have areas where we're not exactly practicing what we preach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, how are they going to call on Christ if they have not heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to ever hear the words of faith without somebody preaching? You know, Paul says in Romans 10, 15, he says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Mm-hmm. And so there is a very fundamental, essential aspect to the gospel, and really it's the first thing of the gospel, which is to preach it, which is to share it. They can't come to faith without hearing the words of faith. And so I like to think of it as both are important. You know, I would say that preaching is more important, but the characteristics of living out the gospel reinforce what you are preaching. So we practice what we preach, and together that makes a really good witness.
That's good.
So I got a, this is Greg. I got a question. So you, your testimony is a pretty good testimony, and it relates to a lot. And I feel like the good news also encapsulates our testimony. You know, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So not only the good news of what the gospel says, but what the good news of what the gospel, what Jesus has done for us also. Would you consider that part of that as well? The good news is what he has done for us. I was this way, and because of Jesus Christ, I am now this way.
Yes, absolutely. I would say that the testimony that we all have, right? It doesn't matter if you have a testimony like me, where I was delivered from addiction, or if you have a testimony where you grew up in the church your whole life, but then you believed, you realized that Jesus is your Lord. We all have a powerful testimony.
Yes.
That I would say even that is something that we could work through. Just sit down with a mentor, a friend, and say, hey, help me learn how to write out my testimony and highlight the good things that God has done in our lives. And I say that because we just forget.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many good things that God has done in my life and I forgot about them. And it really took just sitting down with a notepad, highlighting things that God has done in my life to see the miracles that he's worked. I always try to share my testimony if I'm evangelizing, and here's why. It's because people connect with people.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they don't believe in what you believe, then they're going to need some kind of connection. And so that's one of my first steps into the door of evangelism, is sharing my testimony. I have a neighbor next door. You know, I almost a little embarrassed to admit, I just kind of assumed that she was saved because she was super nice to me, my children, my wife. She kept everything clean, has a beautiful garden. And I just kind of assumed maybe she's saved. And one day, talking to her, the Lord just really pressed it on my heart. She isn't saved. And so I said just something like, do you go to church? Because we found a really good church. You know, just something to get the ball rolling. And she says, no, I gave up on organized religion. And so what do you do with that, right? well, what she's saying is that she went to church, or maybe had a friend or a family member who believed, but it was religious. It had no substance. It had no fruit. And so I just immediately went to my testimony. I told her, you know, I understand that the church and religion doesn't always practice what they are preaching, that sometimes we can be hypocritical. But I have to let you know that I have a wonderful Savior who saved me from addiction. He saved me from heroin. He saved me from living a life of hopelessness and helplessness. And praise God, you know, we're still talking. She didn't shut the door. We've had many conversations since then, and she's even coming over to our house now. And so God is stirring up an opportunity that maybe would have otherwise been closed down if I had kind of just bombarded her with the gospel, saying like, well, I don't care if you gave up on organized religion. Here's the 5 points of the gospel. Believe or you know, perish. And so just saying that sometimes we also need to be sensitive to where the opportunity is.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, they can, if you can, like even throughout the Bible, show us a sign, give us a sign. What's, you know, the Pharisees always said that to Jesus, you know, give us a sign. Well, this is our sign that we give to people. This is what the Lord has done for me, you know, and this is how he's done it, you know, for, you know, we all have our testimonies and whatever it is, you know, I was this way, and because the Lord, now I'm this way, and this is why, because God is good and we are not, and we need him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
So, Brother Evan, is there a, maybe, any testimonies you would like to, you just shared that one with the woman. Is there any other ones you would like to share just to encourage the people into evangelism and really propel them? Because I couldn't agree more. I think it is a go and tell. I mean, we preach this a lot here. It's a go and tell lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a go and tell lifestyle. First, though, I do want to acknowledge that it is extremely difficult. You know, some people in the body of Christ are just supernaturally gifted to be evangelists. And so you can see that. You pointed out, and it's like wherever you go, they're sharing their faith with somebody. And that's beautiful, and I want that. But for the majority of the people in the church, it's not something that they feel gifted in. And it's a very difficult thing. And so I just want to acknowledge for all of the listeners who are saying, yeah, that's great for you, but it's just too much. It's too terrifying. I can't imagine trying to open up my mouth and share about Jesus Christ with my friend or my family member who I've known for a long time, and just to tell them about Jesus. I know that it's hard. I know that it's difficult. And so first I would say, you know, you go to prayer. You go to prayer because, just as we said before, we can't do anything by ourselves. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his power. We need his spirit moving through us. And so when we rely on the Spirit, he's going to open up doors and give you words that you have never thought of or imagined. And it's just gonna happen. You're gonna see his hand work when you step out in obedience to whoever he's calling you to. And then I would say that you gotta look for the opportunities. And you know, so I try to make the opportunity work as much as possible. The open door for a clear shot for the gospel. And I take it if it's there. But sometimes it's not just there. Sometimes it's a very closed door. And so I'm just asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what could I say that might help change their perspective after this conversation and help lead them closer to you? You know, we've gone on college campuses sharing about the faith and asking people what they believe to try to kind of open up the door. And, you know, I encountered a few atheists who were really friendly and wanted to talk. And then I encountered other atheists who, even though they were willing to talk to me, but just had no response whatsoever to things of faith. And so I just really clearly saw there was no open door to preach the whole gospel to this atheist in front of me. So I just asked if I could, you know, pray for him. And sometimes it's a matter of just saying, hey, can I pray for you? I love to pray for people, and I've seen God work in my life through prayer. And so for anybody who is just having a hard time wrestling with the concept of stepping out in faith to share your faith, just take small steps. I really want to just encourage you to take like one step of faith, just to ask the Holy Spirit, God, what do you want me to say to this person? Should I just share a little bit about my testimony? Should I just share, you know, should I just ask if they need prayer for anything? And so getting back to what I've seen is that when I'm responsive to that, responsive to the Holy Spirit prompting me to pray for people, some people just really needed it that day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time they actually just end up in tears crying. And I know that it was God who led me to them. There was one instance where I was really feeling a sense of call to pray for somebody, and my car broke down on the side of the road. I had to call a tow truck. He came and picked me up because my house wasn't too far, so he was just going to drive me to the end of the street. And I was just trying some way to bring the conversation back to faith, back to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And everything I said, it was just the closed door. He just kept shutting it down, right? And so I you know, he dropped me off, and I started walking the rest of the way home, feeling discouraged. Like, man, that was not what I hoped for, but I kept walking, and a man was passing me by, and he said, "Hey, do you have a dollar?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And so I gave him a dollar, and I was like, "How are you doing today?" And he said, "Terrible. My friend from Chicago just got shot in the head, and I'm just really lost, man. I don't know what to do." That's an open door. That's a very clear opportunity to start sharing the gospel. Just before, I was talking to somebody who just shut the door on my face. That's okay, because the Lord had something else planned, because he saw my heart that was willing to just be looking for the opportunity. And he literally collided me with this person who was ready for the gospel. And that man actually got saved on the spot. He was saying, you know, I used to kind of grow up in the Catholic faith, but I walked away from that. It was just too much works. I couldn't live up to all the standards of the religion. And I just took him through some passages in Romans that, you know, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, showing him that the gospel is not our works and efforts to be saved. It's receiving the free gift. And that man got saved. So, yeah, the first thing is it's really hard to share the gospel. But when you just start taking little steps of faith, saying, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, is there any way I could help you, maybe share your testimony? And then God will see that willing heart, and he's going to start giving you more opportunities to share the gospel.
Well, Brother Evan, I don't know how this has happened, but we got 1 minute left. It has flown by. I've really enjoyed this. But tell us a little bit in this 1 minute how we can learn more of World Challenge. If anybody wants to get in contact with that ministry, how they would do that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so go to worldchallenge.org. If you still feel compelled to give, if God has put it on your heart, there's a donate button on the front page. You could also go to worldchallenge.org/give. And there's many different ways you could become a partner with us. You know, one-time gift, a monthly gift of $20, monthly gift of $40. And just so you know about how we use the funds, we are looking for a few pillars in our service to orphans and widows. And that's to make sure that if they're going to be primary care, that's our goal, is for everyone to become primary care, is that they have nutrition, that they have a loving, safe environment, that they have medical care, that they have trauma counseling, and that they have discipleship to become disciples of Christ and become in a relationship with him. And so that's our aim with all of our partners for primary care. Sometimes it's secondary care where all we can really provide is food or shelter through these ministries. If you want to be a partner and come join us in this mission, please consider giving $40 a month, $20, or just a one-time gift. That will really help provide for these desperate, needy souls that Jesus just loves and cares for so much.
Amen. Well, Brother Evan, thank you so much for joining us this morning, especially on short notice, and just really appreciate and honor you, Brother. Great conversation this morning. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks, Pastor Aaron. Appreciate you guys.
God bless you. All right. Well, we are out of here for this day. Brother Greg, thank you for coming in. Still an overwhelming response on Facebook on our poll. I'm not for sure your note would do much, Greg. It's about a 90% to actually about a 95 to 5% probably at this point. So, we love you. We bless you. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.